The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
You're listening to Cthulhu Chronicles. Hey, Frank. Hey. Give me a box of pants.
Secure the template. Set the backside guide to appropriate locks and basket. The backside guide tabs include setting the jig. Possessing template. What the hell am I reading?
Okay, here we go.
Listening to Frank Cthulhu.
Okay, here we go.
Listening to Frank Cthulhu.
Loretta, I love you. Not like they told you love is. And I didn't know this either. But love don't make things nice. It ruins everything. It breaks your heart. It makes things a mess. We aren't here to make things perfect. Snowflakes are perfect. Stars are perfect. Not us. Not us. We are here to ruin ourselves and to break our hearts and love the wrong people and die. I mean that the storybooks are bullshit. Now I want you to come upstairs with me and get in my bed.
Okay, here we go.
Listening to Frank Cthulhu.
Pokey Pig. Okay, here we go.
You know, we spent a lot of time always hanging around the cafes like the Dome and the Select and so on. And often when we were broke, we would know when the boats were coming in with a load of tourists. And then they were always college girls, young American broads coming for a vacation in Paris. And we learned how to cultivate them. They'd buy us the meal, lend us money, and all that sort of thing.
And you take them home.
And now and then, yes, right. There were a number of affairs like that.
Have there been any similarity, do you think, running through the types of women that you've been involved with?
Yeah, people always ask that, and I suppose there must be.
Well,
sometimes I was aware of it. Sometimes. And yet, if I place one beside the other, they were completely different individuals. One would say, no, there's no, I don't see anything in common. But they must have had something in common for me. I tell you what I think I have been attracted to. If I'm honest, I think I like strong women. I'm a passive sort of man, weak in a way. I'm not the manly type of man. And I'm always attracted to women of character and strength. I've noticed that, yeah. And then my battle with them is the battle of wits against their will, you know, and so on. You see what I mean? Also, I find I'm intrigued always by women who are devious, who can lie, who can play many games and so on, who baffle me, or have me on the fence all the time. I think I really enjoy that.
That's very interesting.
It's a funny thing, it's the character, the personality, and I might even say the soul, if you can believe that or not.
Oh, sure.
The soul of the woman, that's what gets me. Then you say, the women I select, you see. I say they select us, you know what I mean? I give myself no credit for selecting. Sure, I ran after them, I struggled and all that, do you know what I mean? But I can't say, oh, That's got to be mine now. Now, that's the type I want, and I'm going to get it. No, no, it doesn't work that way.
The next voice you hear.
That's Cattolo over there. You know what I mean?
Is that guy. Broadcasting is now on the air. You be good. See you tomorrow. I love you. It's me, Frank Atolo, man whose name adorns the title of the show, Netarati Couple Surfers, Netaholics, and Infomaniacs, Philosophical Entertainment, and Relevant Irreverence. Oh boy, what a show. This is going to be melding the metaphysical and the mundane and all the other catchphrases. They get into that stuff that everyone can identify with, that sure. That's why 2K plus 13, as it winds away. Winds away? Winds up? I don't know. Wake up, it's night. Indeed, it's night. Ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello, and into every bordello. I'll greet you on this Thursday night. We're live, of course. It's Thursday night. My name is Frank Cattolo, a man named whose name adores the title of the show. This is the show. No programming is done here. This is entirely a show, complete with thoughts. And complete with, you have to complete the thoughts, actually, sometimes, I think, what you're doing on Y2K plus 13. I'm still, every time it gets this time of year, I'm still going, how could it be? How could be the end of this coming up here? What I'm going to do tonight, I'm going to say this right off the bat. I don't know what that means either, off the bat. I guess it's a baseball phrase. Right off the bat, which means the minute you hit it, I don't know. The minute you hit it is actually a rhyme. I didn't even realize that. But as you might have heard, If you have not just tuned in, but heard our little, our panache, our, it's not a patiche, what would it be, a parade of sounds and words, our collage, our opening collage, our show, which changes every week, our little painting, a little sound painting. There was a clip, a wonderful monologue from Nicholas Kane. What is wrong with me? Nicholas Cage, and Cher, who stopped calling herself Cher Bono. Well, even when she was Cher, she wasn't Cher Bono. Sonny, okay. That was from a movie called Moonstruck. It's a great piece of monologue. We didn't hear her talk, but we heard him talk about how love, the pain of love. And then we heard someone, the actual voice of one of my literary mentors, Henry Miller, former Brooklynite, and someone who wrote many things that have taken me to many places, and his thoughts on women from a man's point of view. There's so much we're going to, I'm hoping to talk about. It's a big, you gotta understand, it's like a big twine mixed up twine. It's like those Christmas lights I used to tell you with my dad. You know, they're all, it's in knots beyond belief. I'm going to try to unknot it. This is not going to be one of those shows that that gives you any kind of self-help, because there's no way I can help you on any of this stuff. There's no reason why I should even consider. I can only identify the problems, and you can understand them, and perhaps you can come up with something that. But and we'll talk a little about the history, because it must have been history of relationships, and all this, and where all of this originated in my head to do this, because there's a fascinating things going on out there. I might add, I do add right now, and I want to talk about them. Fascinating things going on in terms of the world of relationships, and it came to me not through any kind of not in the middle of the night like what's his name. This is not an O'Reilly. This is not an epiphany. It's a fact. It came from me. Facts about men and women, men and men, women and women, any kind of relationships whatsoever that more than flirt with intimacy. Business relations always flirt with intimacy. That's a different kind of intimacy. And I'm not going to, I'd be the last person, and you know this, the last person on earth, maybe the penultimate person, if not the last, to start telling people, giving people self-help advice. Because whatever works for you doesn't work for me, and whatever works for me doesn't work for you. But you know, we all go through this, go through this gauntlet of emotions and relationships and marriages and divorce, all this stuff. Many of us go through this. We all go through relationships. Very rarely are there people who, you know, meet one person. You know that fairy tale story? You know, meet this one person when you're six. And then they grow up to be, you know, the love of your life. That wonderful movie with Robin Williams, which was written by the same man, I believe, who wrote The Incredible Shrinking Man. Well, no, it was What Dreams Will Come, I think it's called. Even though that's an incomplete sentence, as a title, it could be okay. What Dreams Will Come, you know, with this is the love of his life. And he this romantic, wonderful stuff I believe in as wonderful fiction. And I love it. I absolutely love it. But it's as a writer, I have to, because I have to tie loose ends together. But life is not so kind, so tender, or so generous. So we're going to talk about that based on some. And I'm going to also tell you. I don't think I've gotten this thing to be so serious, because you know that's pretty impossible. Even though as serious as I get is as serious as I can be, because that's a whole nother story. But I've got a line of things you're gonna love, and some news about how relationships are. You should feel good no matter what's going on in your life. And I guess if there's any lesson here, it's just embrace what you have or can have at the time you have it, because it's all going bye-bye. I know. Oh, it's yes, another feel-good show of the week from me, Frank Cotolo. I'm going to sell some books. I'm going to come back and then tell you about some of the stuff that's going to be happening as November ensues. We're going to have some more people on, and, you know, this just stuff is going to go on. It's going to be
in a world where reading is dying out, a new champion emerges. Wacky escapades. Parallel universes.
Hello, everyone. This is me, Frank Cotolo.
There's never a dull moment as Frank weaves a tale of a writer making you laugh, chuckle, and learn a bit about life. Pick up License to Scale by Frank Cotolo, now on Amazon for your Kindle.
But don't forget to do that, will you? Buy the darn thing. Okay. When you talk classic literature, what names come to your mind? These days, only one. Frank Cotolo. That's me. And my new book, Molotov Memoirs, is rapidly becoming the classic of all classics. How can you get your hands on this? Read it, absorb it, make it part of your life? Go to blurb.com and just type in my name, Frank Cotolo. And the fabulous book that's illustrated by T. Stephen Gessick and written by me, Frank Cotolo, can be yours. Become a part of the classic literature generation. Get Molotov Memoirs at blurb.com today. I still don't know what's happening on the 14th. Go buy the books, okay, on your smartphones. Put them in there. Get the digital version, or if you want to. And I think this would be a wonderful thing for you to do because those holidays are coming up. And there's tons of things going on with gifts and stuff. And stuff you'd want to stuff. Stuff you'd want to stuff in a stocking stuffer. Molotov Memoirs. Or to a friend. Because there's wonderful things inside of there. I don't know what's happening next week, which is the 14th. Is next week the what? Where are we anyway? Oh, yeah, this is the 7th? 7 and 7 is 14. Yeah, 7 days. That's how you do it. You just add it up. We don't know what's going on the 17th, and I don't even know what's going on the 14th. Isn't that something? I know what's going on the 21st. That's Tom Savino and Cotolo Savino, Savino Cotolo Chronicles. Hey, that's the 50th anniversary of the assassination of John F. Kennedy, President of the United States. Tom is going to have some wonderful things he's reading about. We'll talk about the conspiracies and all the stuff that and how it affects us. Remember, and this is especially cool for a lot of you younger listeners because we were there. We weren't there. We weren't in Dallas. I mean, we were there. We were alive and living when this thing happened, and then we didn't live when Garfield was assassinated, or McKinley was assassinated, or Lincoln was assassinated. But we lived through. So that was just, you know, folklore. But we lived that day, through that day, and everything that happened, and the fall of Camelot, as it was called. So Tom Savino will be here the 21st. The 28th is Thanksgiving. I'm always here with you on Thanksgiving evening when you could digest with me. And there's tons of things that go on. I don't have a great schedule. There's no menu. This is not a program, so we don't put all these things together for hours and times ahead, times of hours and subjects. We just do this as we go along. That's why we want you to go to CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com and to Facebook, Frank Cotolo, so you can find out what's happening and what these shows are all about, because they come about so late. See, we do it live, and what happens to be the subject happens usually very late, although sometimes not, because now I'm telling you about that. You know, Steve Osher has asked to be back on the show, and he's got another book and more ways. Speaking of self-help, more ways, I guess some more stuff to sell about his books, and he's a great guy. And a lot of you people, I know I'm not one to do that kind of stuff. See, my self-help books in my life were things like, as I said, I played Henry Miller talking, Henry Miller's books were my self-help, and, Alan Watts. These books were my self-help books, but you might need a more direct program. You may like to be juiced up with other people and read things and stuff. So you'll want to go listen to Steve Asher December 12th. That's December 12th on Cotolo Chronicles. Here I am saying, I don't plan these things. And here we got it. Well, anyway, Steve said, how about the 12th? I said, fine. And last time Steve was on, me and him got into it because, you know, I'm always the devil's advocate about these things. And I'm not a big self-help person. I can't help myself. And so the Lord can't help me because I can't help myself. Is that what I'm saying? In any event, in all events, it certainly is an event. That's December 12th. I don't know what happens after that. And I don't know if that even ensues in that order. But that's what we got for now there. Of course, forculture.com available. Get on over there. Plenty of hits. Hundreds of people. Thousands of people, perhaps, by now. And now issue number 9 is out. Get over there and read that stuff. 148.ca, the SRN Media Works site, also hosts a wonderful little page that has liked lots of things that I write, including some reviews. You could get some as a book review. There's a couple of CD reviews, things I really enjoy writing about because I write about things I enjoy writing about. And, of course, there's my Chronicles columns, just subjects and things that we talk about that go through our heads. My head and then go through your head right there and then. So get on over there when you got a chance. So what is this all about? Well, let me tell you what this is all about, because there was a number of things that happened in statistically that made me start to think about relationships again. Now, I'm always thinking about relationships. Indeed, I am. And the further away I get from them, because my life is particularly isolated, and I live in a particularly isolated place, and I don't have a lot of contact with people in face-to-face type things. I have a lot of virtual contact with people, even in the things I do to make money. The things I do to make money, that would be my profession. I don't like to call it a career. I don't believe that. I don't know. But anyway, So I think a lot about it, and I do have relationships with people that are virtual and actual. Though there are very, very few actuals anymore through my journeys, my life. I guess my life, my journeys, my travels, my life. But here I am sitting exactly where I sit to do like most things, and I heard something based on, and I didn't even look at this. Well, let's go first. No, let's do this first. I heard something. I was thinking about relationships when I read about a number of celebrities having divorces or separations. Now, that in itself is not uncommon. Although when I was growing up, those are the only people that we heard about doing things like divorce, separation. Sometimes, not even marriage, because a lot of people got married when I was growing up, but you just didn't hear about divorce or separation unless it was movie stars. And the fact that some of these people in this entire different level of living, that celebrity, to us in New York, even though New York is a celebrated place, it was still Hollywood, and all that stuff was still so far away, it was so phantasmagorical. It was so phony and fake to us because you couldn't put our hands on it. It was virtual, per se. So when we heard about divorces and marriages and stuff, everybody thought, when I was a kid, this is what they told me. And they'd say like, well, you know, those people with their money and they go this and they go around. You know, celebrity life is just, it's not all life. That's the point. Not all life. We're here, we're in it. We're in it right here. Here come the voices again of those people in Brooklyn. It's the marriage people. We're here to completely stick with it and get, when we are married, we get kids, we get the whole deal. You know, the whole schlemiel, the whole deal. The Misha Goss. So I went to this, and I'll give you a couple more. I'll give you a couple of these too. This is like brand new. Where is it? This is it. And this is what gave me my first, this is what led me to the next thing, because this is still going on. Except what I'm going to tell you now, when I mention real names of people who are stars, this is not so far away anymore, not because of any connection I've had over the years with celebrities of Hollywood, and not because of that, not because of my professional life or whatever, but because what you're here, what when the, this these announcements of these people, these celebrities, is now so common with everybody we know. We never knew people like this growing up, you see. We know them now. So it's and I didn't know about some of these things, and I'm always kind of like, wow, that's a shame, and wow, how do those two split up? You know, even though it's like gossip stuff, I love it. You know, it's like in Finding Forrester when Jamal sees Forrester, this great writer, reading the Star, you know, the National Enquirer, what have you, you know, and Connery playing Forrester says, you read the good stuff, and then you read this is my candy. He goes, this is my dessert. You know, reading the junk, the gossip. But I read this, so I'm looking through this thing, and it says a roundup of this year's celebrity heartbreaks and divorces. Oh, that reminds me, speaking of roundups, let me just tell you that the other thing happening in December that we know about, of course, is the roll call from the Bone Garden. The artist D will be with me, and we'll do it what we always do it like that, and we'll do the list of all the people who have died this year, and hopefully we get there so that we could do the show, and then we'll, okay, but this is a roundup of this year's celebrity heartbreaks and divorces, okay, we'll go to where this led me. George Clooney and Stacy Keibler. Now, I don't know a lot of these people either, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't know of a lot of these people. I don't know that Stacy Keibler is a model, U.S. model and television personality. Stacy Keibler, she said, asked about her recent breakup with actor George Clooney. The two confirmed they ended their two-year romance in July. They had a two-year romance that ended in July. And you look and you go, what? How? What? I mean, I'm really, there's no, you know, when you read kiss and tell books later in life, again, personalities will tell you about all these things that wind up to be very common in terms of men and women, women and men. It doesn't matter. These romances and how they split apart, how they, you know, and they go, they run their course, and the course is not for life, and the course is not commitment. It doesn't seem to work out that way. So those two left. Where do I turn here? I got more? Ah, and now here's two people I don't know. I think I've seen them around here too. Zachary Quinto and Jonathan Groff. As I said, it's men, men, women, women. Doesn't matter. This is a split up. An impending cross-country separation and conflicting work schedules. Here's what they blame it on. Drove a wedge between Quinto and Groff. A wedge between Quinto and Groff. That sounds like a scientific thing, doesn't it? People like scanning the map with all those lines and everything. Maybe meteorologists getting very picky and saying like, we have a storm coming in from the side. I think there's a wedge between Quinto and Groff though. Or it's a cross section. I met her at the corner of Quinto and Groff. Well, these guys didn't work. It didn't work out for these guys. So they're gone. They moved on. Here's Henry Cavill and Kaylee Cuoco. This looks like cuckoo. Okay, Kaylee Cuoco. I don't know these people. Should I be watching television more? Are these television people? Because I see movies. And Henry Cavill ended their short-lived romance only 12 days after the world found out they were dating in the first place. No reason was given for the split. Okay, 12 days? Does that even qualify for some kind of relationship? But in Hollywood, 12 days. Why? I'll tell you why. Because there are marriages, and there were marriages that didn't even last that long. This is a famous Hollywood marriage of Ernest Borgnine. I hope you have your Cthulhu Chronicles books and you write these names down if you don't know. I mean, Ernest Borgnine, an actor. He died last year. Very famous. You might know him from reruns of McHale's Navy, or you've seen him in movies like Marty. He won the Academy Award for Marty. Okay, well, at one point or another in his life, though he was married a number, he married Ethel Merman. Ethel Merman was this, I don't know what to say, she was this singer known for singing very loud and singing, you know, she does, there's no business like show business. That was her big number. And she's from the old school of singers. Be really loud. Not, you know, it's like not even nowhere near opera, but it's loud like opera, but it's pop like big band. They were married. I don't know where they met. I don't know anything about what happened, but they got married and it lasted a day. Now, they might have realized, who knows? Did Ernest Borgnine write about this in his biography? I don't know. It lasted a day, one day. And then they went to wherever you go for a divorce. They went to, I guess, Vegas. You go to Vegas and get married immediately and divorce. You go to Vegas, get married and divorced in like a day. Didn't what's her name do that? Was that Britney Spears? Yeah, wasn't that Britney Spears, I think? Some crazy guy, she got married and then the next day, well, anyway. So these two are gone after 12 days. Here's actor Peter Facinelli. Yeah, blue-eyed soul brother. A cast member in the romantic fantasy thriller motion picture, The Twilight Saga, New Moon. Oh, it's one of those Twilight movies. He attends the premiere in this picture I have of the film with his wife, actress Jenny Garth, on November 16th, 2009. But they're gone. And that's it. And they look so loving with one another. But they're gone. They're done. They're finished. Here's Chris Humphries and Kim Kardashian. Well, you know, she's the bunt of so many jokes about that, so I'm not even going to go on with that. I mean, I don't even know how Kim Kardashian, well, she looks really good in this picture. This guy, he's a New York Nets, he's a basketball player. And I'm learning a lot of these things here, too. Who's this? Kellen Lutz and Sharni Vinson. Kellen Lutz and an Australian actress, Sharni Vinson, ended a two-year romance in May. She is one weird-looking person. That's a weird-looking, weird-looking lady. She's a what? Australian actress. They met during an audition for the dance movie Step Up 3D. And so 2 years went by, and then they're done. Nina Dobrev and Ian Somerhalder. Somerhalder? Summer not. I don't know. I don't know these people. Nina and Ian, they're in the Vampire Diaries. That's a television show, they tell me. They ended their real-life romance also in May. May was not a good month for celebrity romances. The former couple who play Alina Gilbert and Damon Salvatore on the show dated for more than 3 years. They dated for 3 years, and that was it. They meet on the thing. The show, they do. They're the same show. What went wrong there? Huh? What went wrong there? Katy Perry and John Mayer. Katy Perry, American pop stars. I know both these folks. Well, they're young. They broke up in March after dating for 7 months. Just dating. It was a very private relationship going in, Mayer told Ellen DeGeneres on that show. It was a private relationship during. And it's a private relationship still. And I don't even know what he means by that. Because if you're into, don't you have a private relationship? I don't care how many paparazzi or anything going on. It's always a private relationship, John. This makes me wonder about listening to your songs. I mean, are you writing love songs? What are you talking about? Anyway, it's gone. Dario Franchitti and Ashley Judd. Oh, is that Ashley Judd? Yeah, that is Ashley Judd. Well, they're gone. She married a race car driver. Oh, boy. How do you marry a race car driver? What do you, I don't know. That's, you know, I don't know. That's, well, anyway, that ended. They ended their marriage of 11 years. It's 11 years. She watched this guy go round and round and he escaped death every time, but he could not sustain his marriage with Ashley Judd. And it says here, was this Ashley who's talking here? They're both credited with the following quote. We have mutually decided to end our marriage. We'll always be family and continue to cherish our relationship based on the special love, integrity, and respect we have always enjoyed. You know, if you have a special love, integrity, and respect, why the hell are you not together? You see, remember what I'm saying here. Ashley Judd and this guy are exceptional people in the normal realm level of life. Because she's an actress and what, a celebrity, and he's driving around 8,000 miles an hour in a car. 11 years, kids, everything like that. And what did they attain in 11 years? They attain a relationship based on special love, integrity, and respect. Apparently, we all need more than that. That is not enough. And what makes me laugh when I read these things, too, is the fact that my parents, you know, God rest their souls, or if there's a God, or the fate rest their souls, or their souls, and if they had souls, were rested. Special love, integrity, and respect. These are things I could not attribute to my parents, really. They did not have these things, you know, and it took depth. It was still dead to them part. But that's a whole nother school again. Even that, like I said, when people like common blue collar people were married and what have you, and living, it was different than Hollywood back then, because those people were doing this kind of stuff. Then that was the only way. You know, it wasn't like the people down the block. Now, you know, we grew up with people. They're divorced. They're with people, then with other people, they're not with people, and whatever. Who else? I was surprised at this one. Diane Lane and Josh Brolin. I'll tell you why. Number one, I didn't know they were married. But when I found out these two were married, I went, and remember, I have no idea, I don't know either of these people. But I say to myself, well, I thought there is a pair. They seem to be okay. That seems to be the perfect pair. How do I know? This is ridiculous. You know? I just see Diane Lane, and I'm thinking from a man's point of view. I'm going, hey, Diane Lane. Hey now. You know? Hey now. And everything. And then Josh Brolin, the actress, she filed for divorce from him. They were together, of course, 11 years, married for 8. So, you know, we don't know about that. We don't know about, you see, the mysteries of these things continue. How about Harry Styles and Taylor Swift? We're not going to go into, because from what I hear, Taylor Swift has a billion relationships. She just runs right through them. How about Julianne Hough and Ryan Seacrest? You know, I don't think that's his real name, do you? It's a Seacrest. I don't know. Seacrest. Doesn't sound like a name he made up. I don't know. She's a dancer singer. They enjoyed a 2-year romance in Mac. Here's a typo. In Mac. It's March, I assure you. The pair's busy work schedule made the relationship difficult to maintain. Let me ask you something. What is different between a busy work schedule in Hollywood, in celebrities? These two. She dances, he does this, right? So, okay, what's the difference between that and the difficulties of, you know, a two-income, I'm looking for the words, friends, the two-income home, especially if they're kids. I mean, you think, well, that's not stressful? These people should not have this is what I'm saying, this is what we think. We go, how could they have a problem? How could they have a problem? They have money. They have things to do. Okay, fine. So, but I don't think it's anywhere near as stressful. And I know because I've been in the company of these people in their lives and their homes. I know in celebrities per se. And it was nothing at all and not as damaging daily to the heart, the physical and mental well-being of a couple than two people who have to make a living and they have two income houses and if they have kids and then one's got to be the mother, the father got to be the father, the mother's got to be the mother, the father. And that's like, there's nothing more stressful than that. And yet, okay. And yet we keep going. Courtney Cox and David Arquette. were divorced in May following a 3-year separation. So they tried, they separated and then tried to, and that was it. Then we got director Rupert Sanders and model Liberty Ross. What happened to them? 10 years marriage, and that's it. She was photographed in a steamy embrace with actress Kristen Stewart, the 22-year-old star of the movie Snow White and the Huntsman. Oh, that's the Kristen Stewart. I saw that movie the other day I never saw. Actually, I watch movies over and over again. And that was Kristen Stewart then. Okay, now I recognize her. Except, what was that movie? It was the one with that Zuckerberger guy. Oh, Adventureland. Adventureland with Ryan Reynolds, who, by the way, divorced from Scarlett Johansson. I mean, you'd have to physically, Scarlett Johansson might have to physically grab me and put dynamite in my pockets and light the fuse and throw me out a window. And then Ryan Reynolds, that's what you think, right? Because that's all, because every time you think, through these things, it's always like the perfect thing. You know, you don't think of all the complications and stuff. It's easy for me to say, but Ryan Reynolds knew her and lived with her. And, you know, he's the one who smelled the bathroom after she was there. He's the one who ate with her. He's the one who knew these things that, you know, and the things that annoyed the living daylights out of him maybe wouldn't have annoyed the daylights out of me, but would you, and maybe there'd be other things. Because they're all the same nuts. Okay, let's go through this here quickly. Anna Kendrick and Edgar Wright. I don't know either of these. I don't know either of them. Let's see where the former couple met in 2009 on the set of the film Scott Pilgrim versus the World. They broke up after dating for 4 years. Jay Baruchel. Actually, I know I should know this. Baruchel wrote in a Twitter message that he deleted. Alone again, naturally, heartbroken, he wrote in a Twitter, I won't be on Twitter for a while, gang. Getting dumped rules. And then he got away with it. And Alison Pill is a Canadian star. Alison Pill, she's a darling little darling. Then Rachel McAdams and Michael Sheen. That's his name. Michael Sheen's the guy who always plays the British, not ambassador, the British Tony Bill. Not Tony Bill, Tony... Here we go again. It's Tony Steele. Tony, you know who I'm talking about. The guy was... Oh, is that the same guy? I don't know. This is the guy from Midnight in Paris. And Rachel Adams, who is she? The real-life courtship was over after 2 years. Okay. No reason was given for the split. I love that. No reason was given for the split. The guy from John Radnor and Julia Jones. John Radnor is the guy from... I don't know his name. I've seen a lot of episodes of How I Met Your Mother. I didn't know the guy's name. If I was on Jeopardy, I would lose. If he was the question, and if my life depended on it, I'd probably be, you know, if a bullet would go through my head, if I didn't know the name of this guy, I'd be shot. I'd be dead. Hollywood couple Josh Radnor and Julia Jones. I don't know Julia Jones, but she looks mysteriously like the girl who plays that Canadian girl on the same show. They ended their romance. If no reason was given for the split. Look at these two. Sean Williams, who spells it with two N's. Sean Williams, Scott, and Lindsay from old. I don't know her either. Oh, she's a Victoria's Secret model. Lindsay Frimod. Frimold. I don't understand. He was in American Pie, something like that. And then we got Bradley Cooper and Zoe Saldana. Gone. Look at this. It just goes on and on. Meryl Streep's daughter. Wow. Have you ever seen Meryl Streep's daughter? Because you would know her. You would look at this lady and you would say, if you met this lady somewhere, you would go, are you Meryl Streep? Did anyone ever tell you you look like, you know, you're my mother? Yeah. An actress. Her name is Mamie Gummer. Wow. And Ben Walker. They're gone. They're done. How about Regina King and Malcolm Jamal Warner? Oh, from the Cosby Show. That goes way back. They're done. Is that all we got for now? It's okay. That's good. That's enough. I think you get the picture. They're done. Finished. End of those guys and gals. is it that much different? Now, why do I bring that up? Okay, because I'm reading all this stuff and I'm going, wow, it's just the same everywhere. That's what I'm thinking. It's the same everywhere. It's the same. It's now more common than ever. Now, a lot of you people have said, like, well, we know about, divorce is 50% of all people get married, get divorced. And I don't even know you talk like that, but that's what you say. 50%. But, you know, it's so different now. It's not just that. It's the fact that now more individuals are living solo than ever before. There's a couple of books that I saw people start, and there's a repetitive theme comes up. You don't think you want to, you hear about something and then suddenly the next day you hear about it again, and then you hear about it again, you go, wow, and it suddenly becomes a topic. And you go, wow, I didn't know that. Well, before I looked at some of these books, I'm watching this news report about the United States election, the elections that took place on Tuesday, November, whenever. Was that 5th? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? Yeah. And it's remarkable what I'm hearing them, because they break down statistics now, you know, to the nth degree. But listen to this. Because I know none was not that shocking, but it's, to me, it's amazing. There are so many individuals now, men, women, it doesn't matter what is their sexual preference or however they live. Men and women now more live apart, whether they were divorced, but not just divorced, not even married. In relationships, out of relationships, single, playing the field from which comes players, people who don't want to get married, who's playing around, people who do marry, people who don't, whatever, commitments, it's just different. Now, a lot of reasons for that sociologically, I don't have to get into them, I think you know them, I'm not a teacher, so I won't, but obviously, with there being more rights for women, women are doing more things. This is not the days when women stayed home and stood over the sink, although they still stand over the sink. So do men, though. So there's a completely different, should I use the word paradigm? The paradigm has changed so much. But why did that pop up? It popped up because these are young people. People are not getting married at a young age, even if they do get married, and then they fall into the married relationship divorce statistic. But before that, this is so prevalent. There are so many that they are now considered a voting bloc. Now, you know how they split up things? Like in the presidential election, they say, Barack Obama got 94% of the black vote, the African-American vote, right? Mitt Romney got 62% of the white married people, married women, the unmarried women, the single women, the working women. But now, this is a voting bloc. And this fits into my whole theory about how the most recent presidential election really, really shook up the entire idea, the disparity between left and right. But what I'm saying to you is that these people now living their lifestyle. So I said, wow, that's amazing. I didn't think it was like, a block. And there was a block. But it's come to this. It would never have come to this because marriage and even together forming a business partner, an intimacy business relationship, a marriage, having children. This is all, in the whole realm of what happens as a relationship grows. In Woody Allen's Annie Hall, there's that part where they're both in an airplane and they realize and the relationship has some problems, but they don't say anything. They finally talk about it. And then they say, like, this is not going anywhere. And then Woody Allen says, yeah, the relationship should be like a shark and always going forward. Because, sharks don't go backwards. They never go backwards. A shark, they learn something they never know. A shark can't move backwards like a human or even an elephant that can walk backwards. He said, and what he said, it's a relationship is like a shark. It has to keep going. So it has to grow into a greater depth. It has to grow into marriage, or it has to grow into family and whatever. This is the path that it has to take naturally, is what he's saying. He goes, and I think what we have here is a dead shark. Okay. So what he's saying is that when the relationship was over, and if you know that movie in terms of relationships, you know there is a great moral to it in terms of people needing relationships. But okay, so what was I saying? Oh, so now we got there's no sharks, and these people are just going about their business, their careers, their life, and remember, a lot of young people aren't even living on their own because they're still home with mom and dad because of the jobs, of the economy, blah, blah. But people are going out there, and even professional people, and there's plenty of jobs and plenty of people doing professional jobs. They are now a voting block on their own. This means, as I said, that they are not going to lean towards old, then there's nothing familiar about it. The old, traditional and old go together very well. They're not leaning towards the traditional things of family, those traditional values. They're turning them away. So obviously they're not going to vote for people to put into office, people who are saying things like, what we need, you know, they're saying, they're using very strong religion, they're anti-abortion, women, not just abortion, women's health. Women are not, the women always go, they're always going for the more liberal, the percentage. And now there's more and more and more of them who are out there by themselves. They don't want to know. Don't you give me these things about, I got to, you know, it's the whole family structure is in jeopardy in that it's the minority. I mean, it's not going to disappear, but it's the minority. And so I'm going, wow, is it really that wild? You know, I mean, I'm a divorced person, but I don't know that among younger people, even though I hang around more with younger people than anyone my own age. And you people my own age know what I'm talking about. We're not going to go into that. And I found out, and we're going to talk about this too. I found out there's a couple of books out there that are just written by young people who are single, who don't deal with relationships as traditional. And so therefore the entire makeup of it is different. Now, psychologically, I don't know. We'd have to talk to Dr. Popoli, and maybe we'll do that next time he's on. Talk about this changing way or the needs versus the climate. And the climate is to be solo. And there's books. I'll get the name of the, I'll get the title of this guy. I saw the author, but I don't remember his name. But I didn't remember the names of those. John Bodner, Rodner, whatever his name. I didn't know his name either. Going Solo. This is a book that is selling off the shelves not like trans fats, because I heard they're going to be going. I just thought about trans fats for a second. There's another book, The Breakup Bible, Rachel Sussman. I know I've heard her. I mean, I got the. So there's a girl. I'm thinking going girl and boy. The Breakup Bible. Think about that. Here's an entire bunch of women who have no connection to biblical law or anything. They don't, but they call it the Bible, the Breakup Bible. Then that's like when you break up. Now remember, I'm not just talking about people don't get married, and don't take, they're not talking about dead sharks. I'm talking about people who just are just living their lives, and they're like, they're whatever relationships I have, fine, but they're not thinking, I'm going to get married and I'm going to do this, that, and that. It's not happening. I'm also talking about people who have been married and the shark went a certain amount of the way. They went mad and they broke up, and not just breakups in marriages, breakups in relationships. Get to a point where it's like, we can't go any further, like the dead shark theory, or they got married and got divorced. Either way, they wind up single. Do they marry again? Rarely in this situation. There's also another book, and I think the title of this book is so apropos. Narcissistic Lovers, How to Cope, Recover, and Move On. The emphasis is not on how to keep relationships together. In the new millennium, the emphasis is how to work yourself into a decent condition, because I don't know what the odds and the math is horrible. It's not going to make it. You're not going to make it in a relationship. So you better get these books and you better find out what you're doing with yourself, because it just ain't a team sport anymore. That's it. I sit and wonder as I look at the history of all the people I've read about and know about and historical figures and my writers and stars of people who have, inspired me through the years. And I see nothing but, very unstable relationships. I don't see stable relationships. It's so bad that the ones that I know about, I don't trust. Huh? See what I'm saying? And a lot of you people, I know this because I have a very young audience out there. You people are going out there and you're probably reading, going solo, and you're not thinking about marriage. Talk to younger people, and I did a little study because this is what I've been. I asked them about marriage, and all of them say, men and the women say the same. Oh, but I'm not, I didn't even think about that. And yet there was a time when I was in school, that's what people thought about. Who's the one? Where's the one? Who's that one? I'm going to wind up and get married because that's, I got the shock. It's not a team sport anymore. And if you're not seeing this out there, you've got to see this and understand it in order to understand the change as the generations are taking over. The next generation is taking over. It's like Hemingway said, the sun also rises, which isn't him. That's a biblical. Each generation passes on to the next generation. And, there's not a lot of things that are the same anymore there. My name is Frank Cotolo, a man whose name adorns the title of this show, Breaking Badly. I thought that was cool too when I thought about it. The first thing I thought of was first of all, Breaking Badly would be a great title if I had to title the show. Because let's face it, breaking up means something bad's going on. Even if it has integrity, special love, and whatever else they were saying when those two. And that special love, integrity, and whatever that nobody ever had and stayed together for 50 years. And I also want to get to the lighter side of it. Every tragedy, of course, not every tragedy, I would say tragedy is a foundation for comedy. We're going to get to I'm going to tell you a lot of jokes. I'm not going to give credit to the people who wrote them or said them, because everybody says them. I'm going to give you jokes on relationships, divorce, and marriage that, again, listen to them. We'll do this later. Listen to the jokes. They make a lot of sense. Because that's what makes them funny, because everyone knows they're based on truth. This isn't just I'll tell you the most famous one, of course, right now. I'll tell you the most famous one ever. Henny Youngman stood up in front of a audience, and he said this: "Take my wife, please. Take my wife, please." As if to say, "Take my wife." As I'm going to give you an example, and he's physically, "Take my wife, please." And anybody who doesn't know Henny Youngman, put it in your book, and go read about it. Get in line with what's happening here. We will. Oh, what happened to that? Okay, we got to move that over there. I'm getting ready for what? I'm getting ready for a little break here, and then we'll come back. What is this? Come on. Isn't it amazing that Twitter? I know, right out in left field. I just want to mention this for a second because it was on my mind. Twitter opened. This is a monumental day in the stock market. Twitter just completely opened. It had its initial offering today. And people were just clamoring to buy it, unlike they did with the Facebook, although Facebook is doing well now, in the stock market, right? They're out there going crazy to get this stuff. And this is a company that lost $65 million. It hasn't made a penny yet, but everyone wants to invest in it. And the $267 million or whatever number makes up the people who tweet and who have Twitter accounts. See, those are not people who are ensconced in traditional living matter. They're the people we're talking about. Is the world changing? Very, very much. Get with the program. We'll get with the show when we come back after some breaks. Go get some beverages. Frank Cotola, man, his name and know the title of the show. Be right back.
Cotola of Chronicles, the internet talk show from the Neo Postmodern World.
Hi, I'm the narrator. Let's see what Frank Cotola is up to in the studio.
I'm about to have a duel with my co-host, Jeremy Long.
All of a sudden, a bear attacks out of nowhere.
Oh no! All of a sudden, a bear is attacking out of nowhere!
The bear chews Frank in half and then turns towards Jeremy.
I don't have a lot of time here, mainly because this is only a 30-second spot, and I'm facing imminent death. Listen to Cotola Chronicles live Thursday nights from 9 to 11 p.m. at 148.ca SRN Media Works with me, Frank Cotola, and Jeremy Long. Say goodbye, Jeremy. That's enough.
Ladies and gentlemen, the chief hope of our enemies is to divide the United States along racial and religious lines and thereby conquer us. Let's not spread prejudice. A divided America is a weak America. Through our behavior, we encourage the respect of our children and make them better neighbors to all races and religions. Remind them that being good neighbors has helped make our country great and kept her free. Thank you.
In a world where reading is dying out, a new champion emerges. Wacky Escapades. Parallel Universes.
Hello, everyone. This is me, Frank Cotola.
There's never a dull moment as Frank weaves the tale of a writer making you laugh, chuckle, and learn a bit about life. Pick up License to Scale by Frank Cotola, now on Amazon for your Kindle.
When you talk classic literature, what names come to your mind? These days, only one, Frank Cotola. That's me. And my new book, Molotov Memoirs, is rapidly becoming the classic of all classics. How can you get your hands on this? Read it, absorb it, make it part of your life? Go to blurb.com and just type in my name, Frank Cotola. And the fabulous book that's illustrated by T. Stephen Gessick and written by me, Frank Cotola, can be yours. Become a part of the classic literature generation. Get Molotov Memoirs at blurb.com today.
Early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise.
And oh, was Benjamin Franklin wise.
So you actually think electricity can pass through metal? Ha! Ben Franklin, go fly a kite.
Excellent idea. Where are my keys?
Besides the bifocals, Ben invented the Franklin
Up
stone.
You go!
The odometer.
Whoa!
Oh, and the lightning rod. Ingenuity, pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
I want to tell you to do one thing, though, and if you'll pay attention to me, it might save your life. I want you to buckle up and live. Seatbelts and shoulder harnesses can be your second chance. Now, if you never had an accident, you could be next, because you gamble every time you get in your car. Now, you cut down the odds against you getting killed, you understand, by buckling up your seatbelt or your harness. Use them as advised by your car's manufacturer, and have your passengers use them, too. Automobile accidents can be deadly. Be sure you get that second chance. Buckle up and live.
Everybody's voting for the friendly voice of radio, the people's choice. Music, weather, sports, and news, it's radio. The people choose. Everybody's swinging to the swinging voice of radio, the people's choice. Big fry, small fry, dawn to dawn, it's radio that turns them on. Swinging, singing, a million sounds you want to hear. It's a landslide every year. Everybody's dialing in the smiling voice of radio, the people's choice. East coast, west coast, in between, it's radio that makes the scene.
Dun, 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 dun. You know, I don't think it's radio that makes a scene anymore. Who listens to radio anymore anyway? I mean, this is me, Frank Tolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show, here on SRN Media Works and all the great stations that replay this show. I know I have... I am remiss not to mention each and every one of you guys and gals, but you do wonderful jobs repeating this show to your own audience, because they might not listen to it live, but you only can listen to it live here at SR Media. And we're here for 2 hours. And there's a second hour now in progress as we move along. I'm talking about this. I found out some more about this book, Going Solo. And the subtitle, you know, books have subtitles, remember? Moby Dick or The White Whale. that's all another piece, but it's true, it's a subtitle. The White Whale. Going Solo. Okay, let me tell you, it's Eric Klinenberg. A little bit about him. But first we'll read this. The subtitle of the book is The Extraordinary Rise and Surprising Appeal of Living Alone. For a book like this to sell as much as it's selling, okay, we're talking about, this is like 1989 as a hardcover in an analog book. It's $8, $8 as a Kindle. Here's a little piece of what this is about, which explains a lot of things I was saying. By the way, this is Cthulhu Chronicles. We all know that, right? Y2K plus 13. A revelatory examination of the most significant demographic shift since the baby boom. The sharp increase in the number of people who live alone. That offers surprising insights on the benefits of this change. In 1950, listen to this. Here we go. This is actually putting it into words, what I said before, maybe putting it into clearer words for you. In 1950, which is the year of my birth, that's baby boomer time. In 1950, only 22% of American adults were single. Today, more than 50% of American adults are single, and 31 million, roughly one out of every seven adults, lives alone. People who live alone make up, you ready for this, 28% of all U.S. households, which makes them more common than any other domestic unit, including the nuclear family. Is this not epochal? Epical? Epochal? Epic? Is this not a paradigm shift? Is this not any number of synonyms I could find for this? That's remarkable. In this book, he's a renowned sociologist and author, Eric Klinenberg, proves that these numbers are more than a passing trend. They are, in fact, evidence of the biggest demographic shift since the baby boom. As we said, we are learning to go solo and crafting new ways of living in the process. The author explores the dramatic rise of solo living and examines the seismic impact it's having on our culture, business, and politics. See what I said? Politics? I was talking about that's where it came to my attention. Though conventional wisdom tells us that living by oneself leads to loneliness and isolation, the author shows that most solo dwellers are deeply engaged in social and civic life. In fact, compared with their married counterparts, they are more likely to eat out and exercise, go to art and music classes, attend public events and lectures, and volunteer. Oh my gosh, what are they saying? This pretty much, this is like, this. They're putting marriage into a wow. This is gigantic stuff, my friends, my comrades. There's even evidence that people who live alone enjoy better mental health than unmarried people who live with others and have more environmentally sustainable lifestyles and families, since they favor urban apartments over large suburban homes. Drawing on over 300 in-depth interviews with men and women of all ages, this book reaches a startling conclusion. In a world of ubiquitous media and hyper-connectivity, this way of life can help us discover ourselves and appreciate the pleasure of good company. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Now, that is not like the other books I mentioned, which are about getting along on your own, getting over broken up relationships. These are people who aren't even getting there. This is the rising trend. The other ones, of course, can quickly become, according to this guy, healthier, wealthier, and wiser. My goodness. So many people just, you hear that? That's the sound of people turning over in their generations, turning over in their graves. On a similar note, from the Daily Mail in our wonderful, loving Great Britain, comes the rise of divorce. 1 in 5 marital breakups now done online with smartphone splits. Oh my goodness. Thousands of Britons are turning their backs on traditional divorces conducted by a solicitor, opting instead for a quickie legal split via a computer screen or a mobile phone for as little as £37. It says here this is despite divorce rates across the board falling over the last year in Great Britain. So there, there's that too. See, I guess what I'm bringing to your attention with that is the fact that it's one big part of the Hallelujah Trail. Along the Hallelujah Trail now, wake up, it's night. A lot of things are done and over. And this going solo book, what it says about generations, what it says about what's going to happen, these are people who might, as it says, too, it's a very positive thing. I haven't read the book, no. No. And the guy, I don't know if he'll come on the show. But we'll talk to Dr. Popley about it. Hear the hum in the back? It's a, now it's quiet again. The big machines that keep the house going. This house and me. That's going assault. Take my way, please. Let's look at some of the, that's, and then people out there who were saying, and I don't know the people out there who were saying, because I don't know if those people listen to this show, the people who are leaning and lean towards and believe in or have as part of their understanding and composition and consciousness, the traditional, they back, I should say, even politically, business, they back the traditional way. This is the way to go. No other way to go. I don't know if they're not listening, but they don't realize the power of this wave of lifestyle. This is what's happening now. What does that say about relationships? What does that say about where we're going? Well, I'll tell you what it does say. It says that people are waking up and they know it's night. Not because they're not getting married, but if they do get married, perhaps they're going to have a little bit more luck, which you need, and a little bit more self-esteem and understanding of themselves in order to share with another person the partnership of matrimony. Perhaps it's always, perhaps it's never going to be a team sport, living and growing together like it. Maybe not. Maybe in the next 10 or 15 years, we're going to find out that it's completely different. And there will be people who don't even get involved. And the traditional family will be the minority. As it is, I guess there's less people being born now, and people who do want to have families do some planning. Relationships. Here's some funny things said about relationships. To give you an idea of how people look at relationships from this point of view, but there's a lot of truth in these things. I'm laughing already. I know some of these. I'm not going to tell you who wrote these things. Here's a number of jokes about relationships in itself, marriages and relationships. So I just said having babies. The baby is fine. The only problem is that he looks like Edward G. Robinson. I know there's somebody out there going, who's Edward G. Robinson? How about this? If a man, this is from a woman. I'll just tell you if it's a man or a woman, okay? This I know is from a woman. Obviously you're going to say, if a man prepares dinner for you and the salad contains three or more types of lettuce, he's serious. Here's a, I love this one. There's a father, I'm sure a man. My son is, well, actually, this could be both. My son has taken up meditation. At least it's better than sitting around doing nothing. And the silence. I should have. I don't want to have. I don't want. I just want you to either chuckle or give you a second there time to chuckle or laugh or just forget about it. I'm going to put a laugh track on here. Why would I do that? You know what I should do? Here's what I should put on here. Going solo, by the way, and I get nothing from this book. It's just the perfect book to bring about this point. You go get it yourself. You don't buy it. I don't care what you do. Let me hear. Let's use this instead of laughter. I know you're going to love this. We talked about this in the past. Where is it here? Is it here somewhere? Is this it? Okay. We'll use this instead of laughing. We're going to use this sound. Can I get it? Yeah. Okay. So I'll hit this. After I gotta move these, I gotta move. Okay, here. Here's an older man. You can understand this, you old. You know the older man out there? I'd rather have two girls at 21 each than one girl at 42. There's my laugh track. That's the what is it? That's the galata making a bizarre sound. That sounds like, that's the laughter. Okay, that's the laughter. How about this? A friend who is near and dear may in time become as useless as a relative. I'm glad you enjoyed that one. How about this? Most people deserve each other. Oh, you heard it? You started laughing ahead of time? What? It's funny. Maybe that's how the people, that's how single people are going to laugh in the future. See, that's what's going to happen. My girlfriend and I almost didn't have the second date because on the first date, I didn't open the car door for her. I just swam to the surface. That's a good joke. This is what it's going to sound like. These are how they, the gelatas talk. Okay, maybe it's how they laugh. One more about relationships. If someone had told me years ago that sharing a sense of humor was so vital to partnerships, I could have avoided a lot of sex. Oh, they love that one. Yeah, I know. I know the jokes are just, they just keep running. Thank you. Okay, kids, you move over there. What is this here about divorce? Still about divorce? Well, I don't know. I guess we're done with the solo thing because I don't know what else to say about that. I want you to think about it. I want you to go listen, talk to people about it. I want you to look at people you know. Don't look back. I keep saying that because, you know, I'm an adult, and most people from my generation have either married once, twice, three times, or never. No, not never. There's very few in my generation who haven't married at all. One or two, and they're weird. Well, and then that's not for me to judge anyway. I guess what I'm saying is that, you know, this is barring all the psychological stuff. And maybe that is not going to come into play. You would think that a lot of people, I guess, I'm assuming there might be a psychologist who said, well, he's single because, or she's single because they have problems with the way they saw marriage with their parents. And so they didn't go to get married. Or there's the ones who have very bad childhoods and they look for bad relationships, and then they wind up nowhere because they don't know anything about how to deal with stuff. But perhaps, so what I'm saying is there might be some very positive energy to this fact that people are growing up, and that there are these great advantages to living solo, to getting on your feet by yourself, this not having a but then again, there are things that are very endearing about dependence, although I know a lot of people who don't feel that way, but there are, and there is. That's, for God's sakes, that's a verb. There is, I don't want to end it with is, there are such people. And then, I know I'm not talking about me, I'm just saying, there's just so many types. I'm not even saying where I'm at with this, because I am all over the place. And Lord knows, and I don't talk about my personal situations, I don't do that here. But, on occasion I laugh about things, but, and for all you know, some of these jokes are mine. Let's talk about divorce then. Because, now is it funny? I think, As a person who's written humor professionally, I think that humor comes from tragic things. That's the most funny things. That's why we watch people slip on banana peels and fall, and we laugh at them. It's terrible. You could break your hip. You could break your butt. You really get hurt. You could fall, for God's sakes. People have hit their heads, minor hits on the heads have caused people to go paralyzed. And there's just, you know, the chances of anything happening at any given time are all over the place. It's the math of life. Thank you. Somebody, I wonder if that has to do with anything that just went on. I don't know. So we don't know about this. I don't know about this. I should only say we. And there are people who do know. I don't know. But there might be some very personal thing. But as I was saying, as somebody who, I lost my jokes. Where'd they go? Oh, as somebody who has done that, I know that we all know how we find these things that we can laugh at, the things that really are serious things. And now divorce is a serious thing. Separation is a serious thing. Breakups are serious. People, I don't think anybody, and I never believe anybody who says, well, we came to a mutual agreement. Was that Diane Lane or was that the other one? No, it wasn't Diane Lane. They didn't say anything. I forgot her name already. I don't even know who she was married to. The other one. Ilsex Perlsman. No, not Isaac Perlsman. No. I know her name. Anyway, special love, integrity, and I mean, they had everything that if they went to a counselor, the counselor would probably sit there and go, I give up. I give up. You've got special love, integrity, and all the, and the other thing, but you can't be together. What is that? Did they just fall in love with someone else and they don't want to mention it? Can you fall in love with someone else? Sure you can. Can you, the whole chaotic idea, the whole idea of, romance is chaos, emotional chaos. I draw your attention once again to F. Scott Peck's book that I forgot the title. Go read F. Scott Peck. I can't even get the title. Go read that. Read F. Scott Peck and learn about chaos and love and romance and stuff. That's the stuff that literature is built upon. That is the drama. That is the comedy. The romance, that's Romeo and Juliet. That's a whole different plane. And then we're brought up on this crap. Well, I say crap, but, it's beautiful. Some of it's such beautiful stuff. But, we believe this stuff. But that all that traditional stuff is going. Bye. Good. Going. Gone. And then divorce comes up. Divorce, from the Latin word meaning to rip out a man's genitals through his wallet. I don't think the guys heard that. Did you hear that one? I said divorce, from the Latin word meaning to rip out a man's genitals through his wallet. Finally. They didn't get it at first. Yeah, I know. How about this one? When my parents got divorced, there was a custody fight over me. No one showed up. It's better than the laugh track. I know. They just keep going, too. They just keep going. Someone said, she should get a... Someone said about a girl, she should get a divorce and then settle down. Oh, they like that one. Everybody has got to go away from this show if you listen through it. And everybody's got to go away thinking one thing or another based on this. You're all going to be thinking about all the people, your friends, and what they're doing and why they're doing it. Or you sitting there thinking I'm sitting here listening to Cotolo Chronicles tonight live in my home or on my phone somewhere. And you have a girlfriend, but she's not around. And you're going, oh my God, is that me? And there's a good one right here. Person says, I'm 34 years old. I thought I'd be divorced by now. By now. Okay. You gotta laugh. You learn how to play. You gotta laugh. Breaking Badly. Okay, how about this? A lady says, marrying a divorced man is ecologically responsible. In a world where there are more women than men, it pays to recycle. I like that. Wow, boy, Is that my stomach? You hear my stomach? Anybody ever say that? Was that you? Was that you? People say that. Wow, was that you? Sitting next to you and you hear something. When your stomach makes those sounds, that the acid makes those sounds. I think it's acid. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. It makes those sounds. Someone talks to you. Is that you? How about this? My ex-wife is my... My ex-wife is going to hell on a scholarship. Trying to replenish my precious bodily fluids here. Ooh. Yeah, I know. My wife and I were happy for 20 years. Listen to this. My wife and I were happy for 20 years. Then we met. In the world of neo-postmodernism, my name is Frank Cotolo. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of the show. The show where the Galato... I know, relax. Okay, calm down. Sounds like one of those old morning zoo shows. I had this stupid little crazy Galato, whatever. What am I talking about now? I'm telling you, and I want to say this to you, that we're available on Facebook. I say all this other stuff. We're available on Facebook and I'm on Twitter. At Frank Cotolo. I'm doing something on Twitter these days. It starts, I think, this Sunday. Daily meditations. Well, William Paisley, who did the Pocket Guru, he's got competition now. Although he does. I don't think he thinks it's competition, but I'm telling you he does. Because I've taken the serious stuff. I'm going to daily meditations. These are inspiring thoughts that you shouldn't think about a lot. I'm going to have one a day at Frank Cotolo. You can get these at Frank Cotolo. They're during, sometime during the day, you'll get these. Now, this is the daily meditations, but I call them daily meds. And I think that, again, regardless of the fact that some people might find them funny, I think they're dead serious. I'm dead serious for these things, okay? So you can go to me at Twitter. And you could be my friend at Facebook. And this show and many other shows, you can hear and download. If you're here on other stations, you can also download them here.
Juiced Talk Radio. It's juicy. JuicedTalk.com. Here, Frank Cotolo's Cotolo Chronicles.
Imagine if there were companies that made cookies, and they only got together to make like one a certain amount of cookies for a certain amount of time. Okay.
Transistor by Velvet Steel.
You know, you've got short nipples. You've got long nipples that stick up from the body. You've got big areolas.
Sure,
you've got small areolas. You've got different colors. You've got hair growing off them. You've got everything growing. You've got veiny nipples. You've got all kinds of different things. But for some people, they have really small nipples.
And the Fabulous D Show by me, the Artist D.
You bring this out in me.
I know. And that's why this is so unique, because you could do a million of your own shows.
And I would never do this there, no.
Exactly. You'd never start saying, who did they suck off to get that?
All at Juiced Talk, archived for your listening pleasure. JuicedTalk.com.
Tom Savino is here for a Savino Cotolo Chronicles on the 21st. On our show, the 21st of November. Is that Spanish? November? We'll be talking about the Kennedy assassination, various conspiracy theories, what happened, what might have happened, what didn't happen, how we felt about it, having being people who were there. And then we go to December 12th. Steve Osher has said he wants to be. We're going to have him on then. Do I have his, let me see if I have his book here. We could just mention that for a second. Because he probably fits into this. I'll bet you he fits into this thing. In other words, I think fits into this thing. Anyway, that is certainly not a definitive piece of information fits into here. The book Steve Usher featured, he was featured on my show in the past. That's right. And he's going to be on again. He's got a new book. It's out. It's called What? Oh, no. It's called What? That'd be a great title. What? It's almost that. What is your what? What is your what? This is his book. What is your what? Subtitle, discover the one amazing thing you do. One person has the power to change the world, impact millions of lives, and leave a legacy for lifetimes to come. That person is you. Could be you. What? Me? Who? Me? That's my answer to that book. Who? Me? Who? Who's my who? What? In this book, Steve Usher, I'm saying Usher. I keep forgetting the L. It's Usher. I'm sorry. Sorry, Steve, if you're listening. Steve Usher, award-winning author and founder of the Reinvention Workshop, reveals his proven step-by-step process that has helped thousands cultivate a life of purpose, conviction, and contribution by identifying and creating a plan of action for bringing the one thing they were born to do to fruition. So that is Steve. I'm telling you, this is going to be a spirited talk, conversation. And why? Because although I agree with the premise, wow, am I not a person who would read? I'm not. But you might be. That's what I said. Well, what will readers learn from this book? These are questions that you answer. How do readers discover their what? Then we go, what? What's your what? We'll tell you about that when Steve is on the show. That should be December 12th. December, when does the Bone Garden come? Ooh, the 28th of December. Write that down. I'm still writing. Write this down. It's the Bone Garden. Roll call from the Bone Garden. Always a fun show. The Artist D. On live, of course, on Sundays. The Fabulous D Show. Go to theartistd.com and find out about that. Okay. So, what is this? Read this one. My marriage was dismissed for lack of evidence. The joke. What? Where did they go? I said my marriage was dismissed for lack of evidence. She's getting older. Those sounds don't get old to me. They're like... These are animals talking to one another, okay? They understand it. To me, it's laughter. They laugh themselves through it. I don't really understand a lot of things, and I think the strange thing to me about life is that, although I feel I may have attained some wisdom as I get older, the one thing I do learn is, like, you know, the saying, the farther I travel, the less I know. And the longer I live, the less I know in terms of all this stuff. And then I look, as I always have with anything, the history of any particular thing. In this case, we're looking at relationships, marriages, divorce. I look at the history, and I see that it goes so far back. I read an article recently that had to do with a book out that's about arsenic. And this is a way that some women got rid of their husbands. Didn't divorce them. They didn't, because this is as happens. Marriage, it can do this to people. We know that. There are cases. We hear them all the time. Not all the time, but enough. Too much. But in this arsenic book, the fact that arsenic was very difficult to detect, women who got sick of their marriage, sick of their husbands, and just sick of the whole thing, decided it would be better, and they knew the husband wasn't going to leave, and they weren't going to leave. So maybe they'd get something if the husband died. So they decided to kill them, and they killed them using arsenic. Because at one time there were no sophisticated tests. And so when someone just got sick and died, and I don't even know about autopsies. Maybe they didn't do them, or maybe it didn't show up. I don't know. This was a common. When I say common, I don't mean it's not like today. It's not common to hear that a man has killed his wife or a woman has killed her husband. We hear these things now and then, but we don't hear, and we hear about these horrific, you know, suicides of, kills the wife, then he kills, turns the gun on himself. I'm talking about women who sat around and realized, went to a store and bought arsenic. Because they knew if they gave a little bit, eventually a husband would die and they'd be happy. This is their idea of ending their marriage. So these things have come into play. So you look at the history of the collapse of marriages or relationships. I don't know that they're that much different other than the fact that obviously marriages are a little bit more complicated when they come to breaking up because there's possession, and then there's a common law marriage where, and then there's prenups. That's why people write prenups. And before they get married, they say from there, no matter what happens, that car is mine. And they sign it and it becomes legal. Making these things legal makes them complicated because there's promises, there's legal things written down. And when you write these down, that's why he said, always write this down. But in the old days, they didn't do that at all. And there was nothing different. If you read through history, there were people who were married who kept mistresses, kept concubines. Isn't that a concubine? Contraband is the stuff that you illegally take. No, not contraband. That's not concubines. Sorry. And then there are cultures, the Japanese cultures, where the fascinating. It's imagine this, and this is something I know. You go to a Japanese family, a house, you sit, you break bread. You can't break bread with them. What do? You separate rice with them, I guess. You don't break bread, but that's the term, you know, even though you're not bread. There's not such thing as Japanese bread, is there? Now that you mention it, there's just those little crinkly things. Okay. You go there, sit down, and then it's an insult. And again, this is traditional stuff. Japan is so Easternized now. I don't know if they do this anymore. There might be more singles there too. This might be happening in the whole world. But when you talk about like weird cultures and things like that, and concubines, mistresses, affairs, there's the head of the household, which would be the man in traditional, has to ask you. I know this sounds absurd, but it did. It happened. I don't know if it happens anymore. It would be rude for him not to say, and would you like to sleep with my wife tonight? How would you like to? It would be rude if he didn't ask. Now, I don't know if they did that to anybody who came by. Like, you know, a Caucasian man from Cincinnati happened to have dinner with the guy for business. I don't know if that guy he said too, because that guy doesn't know it's rude. That guy just thinks it's weird. Not just weird. But if he's not at all, he can say yes or no anyway. But you know what happens? This is man. No matter who it is, a guy from Cincinnati or if it's a Japanese guy from the South or the person off the island, whatever, whoever, they're going to look at the wife and going to go, hey now. Or they're going to go, bleh. Maybe they'll look, they're going to make up their mind if they can do it. They're going to make up their mind based on their attraction. They could go, hey now, inside. They don't say it out loud. Or they'll go like this. Well, they can say that. So, what would you do if you're a guy? It didn't work the other way around because, you know, the Japanese culture is so male-oriented. Traditionally, I don't know what they do. In cities, of course, things are different. But who knows what goes on out there in the country? There might be, but there's more of a chance, perhaps there's more of a chance for that kind of tradition, even though there's a lot less than it used to be. They're probably in those bamboo huts and they got smartphones, galaxies and stuff. I don't know. But in those cultures, when that happens, And the husband doesn't. The husband's asking. The husband, the man of the house. And the woman doesn't go. The woman doesn't say anything because she knows she's got to. If the guy wants it. And the guy, whoever the guy might be, of course. Is he basing that is yes or no on a woman? He got a wife. And you, here's what I... You see, men, the scheming, devious, little cunning sexual thing that goes on with men. I want to have dinner. He would actually be fixing up. You know, why do I say this? Because I figured out this plan. I might do this. I might have done this. If I went, I would, if I knew this couple, any couple, let's say this couple, this particular couple of Japanese origin, and I'm somewhere there in their country, and I said, like, oh, I'm gonna try to have dinner at the house. Because I was already attracted to the wife, I'm going to try to have dinner at their house. Because I know if I have dinner at their house, Mr. Kawasaki is going to have to say, would you like to sleep with my wife? Now, I'm not sure if that means if I'm staying overnight or not. Maybe if you just have dinner, they don't invite you to take their wife. So I don't know the full... I know I wrote the book, The Complete and Unabridged History of Japan, but no one can finish it. In the world of 140 characters and Twitters, I write an 800-page book. What's wrong? But what's wrong with me? And yet people who have read the book said this. I wonder if somebody just emailed me something to do. No, not at all. Nothing to do at all with it. Did I finish with the jokes? I don't know. My name is Frank Atoll. The man's name is the title of the show. And what am I heading for? I'm heading for the end of the show. Here, Y2K plus 13. I have no idea what we'll do next week. I have no idea. And you know, you're not going to read my, that doesn't matter. I'm just saying that I'd be the, you know, that's just the kind of person, that's me. But I'm on thinking, you know, that probably, and there's a good storyline. A guy who wants to go and spend overnight so that he can get to the wife, but what would that get him? And what happens if you go there to this person's house, he gives you the wife for the night, and then you're like, you're smitten. Suppose you're smitten, and I don't know how to say that in Japanese. Suppose you are smitten. Then what? You know you can't go back. There's things about honor, respect, not being rude in these traditions that, I don't know. There was one great joke I've got to tell you. Ah, this is my favorite divorce joke. I'm not going to tell you who wrote it. I don't know who said it. And I don't believe anybody wrote it anyway, knowing I've written jokes that other people have eventually found or credited or did or said. It doesn't make sense. But this, as far as I'm concerned, is the funniest divorce joke ever written. And I wish I'd have had this because this is the kind of thing that would have been a daily med for me. For you. I write these. I'm going to write daily meds. This would be one. But I like this one for so many reasons. It's better to have loved and lost than have to live with that bitch for the rest of my life. Yeah, they like that. They always laugh the same way. I guess if you watch a sitcom, it's that way true. It's too, also. It's that way too, also. That's my favorite divorce joke. Not that you care. There's another great joke. And that's just my downright funny joke. I'll tell you one now that is fascinating in its construction and in its conclusion. The punchline is so, it's not poignant. It's truth. Because it just brings up the fact that relationships don't go, and maybe they're all dead sharks. Okay? Here it is. Now, then when it is, here is that joke. A couple that's been married 50 years, married 50 years and lived with one another, are in court. It's divorce court. One is sitting on one side with the lawyer, the other one is sitting on the other side. His and her lawyer. Papers are out. Everything's going on. But the judge is not necessarily as old as these people. These are old people. They're like, they've been married for 50 years. They're at least 80, 79, 80. And there's no sign of impropriety. There's no sign of beating or violence. There's no sign of affairs. And so the judge says, may I see both of you here at the bench? And the old people just wiggle their way there, you know, to the bench. And the judge looks at them, looks at one, then looks at the other. And the judge says, listen, I don't get this. Nothing has happened. We all, I'm sure you've had your disagreements over the years, but nothing has come to a point where either of you became violent, either of you, there's no sign of affairs. None of you have gone out on the other one, and you've worked together, you've lived together. I see you've shared money. I see you've shared your house. I see all this stuff. And I see 50 years of marriage. I see you people standing in front of me. I hate to say it because you know you're young, but you're old people. I mean, you don't think about, maybe you think about death more than nothing. The judge is just over. He goes, what are you doing? What is going on? Why are you getting divorced? And the wife says something that the husband nods after she says. She looks at the judge and she says, judge, hey, enough is enough. Did that take a beat or did you get it? Yeah, enough is enough. So you got to wonder. When I hear a joke like that, it's like, well, that, you know, what does that say? And that says it's over. This is not a team sport. 50 years and then a divorce? My name is Frank Cotolo. I'm a man whose name adorns the title of the show. I want you to think about all of this. And I don't know what you're going to do with it. You do with it what you want to do with it, but I guess the main thing, of course, is the fact that things are so changing so much and that generation coming up and we're not going to be able to hold on. That is the Hallelujah Trail message of this when push comes to shove. I'm not telling you that relationships don't work. I don't know. Some relationships do work. Some marriages work and they're never anything but difficult. They're never anything but you have to be employed and deal with such heavy negotiation all of the time. And if you don't enjoy that, then obviously it's not going to work for you. And sometimes you might enjoy it, but she doesn't, and that's not going to work. And sometimes you're going to say, oh, I was so right about you. You're the most loveliest thing in the world. And she's going to go, well, I wish I felt the same way. There's just no way to put this into an equation. So no matter what happens, what is your what when you're married? And I'm sorry to say, it's just sad to think that if there are people who have money and careers and everything they would want or dream about when they were kids, and these people say, we have a special love, integrity, and whatever else she said. Qualities. They have qualities that anybody would think keeps a union such as that together. And it doesn't? Enough is enough. Yeah, people change. Yeah, people have to change together. I'm just saying, be very, excuse me. I did that just as the, why am I getting mail so late tonight? Huh? I'm getting, Dr. Waldor. Dr. Waldor had another ending to the old joke. I got to tell you this. Now, this is a whole different outlook, but it's the same thing. People who stay together for various reasons. My end of the joke, Dr. Waldor says, the husband said to the judge, this is an alternate ending. You ready? And he goes, why would you be getting married, divorced after all this time? And the doc, and the husband says, well, judge, we wanted to wait till the children died. My name is Frank Attolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. Hope is a good thing, right?
Yeah. I'm going to see my friend Andy.
And you know what else is great? The fact that, you know, the Moonstruck thing we played in the beginning. I wish I could find that again. Would that be here? How do you find, what do you do if you don't have gun? Nope, it's not there. It's not here. Let's see if it's still here. No, it wasn't there either. I have no idea where to find it anymore. Watch the movie Moonstruck, because it does have various, well, not do anything. I mean, it's all, you know, this adventure of life is life, and that's the way it goes with it. My name is Frank Attolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. We'll be back, I hope, on next week's Thursday evening, and we'll be live at SRM Media Works. Don't forget to go. And, you know, while you're going to Twitter and everything, 148.ca, you might want to join them. 148.ca, join them. Join that. Follow is the word. Follow. You might want to follow them. You might want to follow. You do follow me at Frank Attolo. And don't forget, also, Get Over It for Good, Dr. Karen Wyatt's book. I have so many people that I want to be sure I want support. That's it. We want to wait until the children die. Oh my goodness.
That's what you can tell over there. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I know what you mean, but I don't know. As Alex the Gray African Gray Pirate, the pirate, Alex the African Gray Parrot said, his last words, and I think this is all we can take from any of it, right? You be good, see you tomorrow, I love you, can you do what you gotta do, my friends, my comrades, you see me on the street, wave to me, and we'll be back as soon as we can to chronicle some more. This is down the Hallelujah Trail in this ever-changing neo-post-modernist world. See you next time. Good night, Mrs. Ernstwhile, wherever you are now. I'm thinking, but I'm leaving because I got nothing more to say.